It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. We got a good one lined up for you today. Blackjack Brian Brown is going to join us here in a little bit. We're going to talk about everything that was going on. He won down at Sedalia this last Sunday. We'll talk about his Knoxville Nationals and a lot more with Brian Brown. One of our favorite guys. Never turns us down, always says yes, and we're looking forward to talking to Blackjack Brian Brown here in just a minute. Don't forget, tomorrow we have scheduled Buddy Kofoit to be on tomorrow. So tomorrow, you don't want to miss that. Buddy Kofoit is going to be on the show with us again tomorrow as well. Today's Mostly Motorsports is all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. And I'm pretty excited about this coming weekend. Austin, how are you doing, my friend? You doing all right?
Yeah.
You doing okay? That's all I get is a, yep, that's it.
Yeah, that's it. I mean.
You're such a chatterbox, bud.
I never shut up, do I?
No, you're always quiet. You know what's so funny is that, you know, that your mom and dad and everybody that's always around you all the time, they always say how quiet you are. But when you get on the air, you're a little bit of a chatty Cathy. Did you know that? Not in the sense of a Cathy, but a chatty Austin. How's that?
Yeah, I mean.
Why are you different on the air than you are off the air?
Well, it's expected of me to perform and speak, yeah, you know. Yeah. So I guess when I'm not forced to do anything, I'm kept to myself, and you know, it's must be an important situation for me to make any comments on anything. I guess.
Yeah, this is a big weekend. This is the final weekend for the races up at Knoxville, right? Am I correct on that? This is the final weekend?
Points races for the sprint cars. In a couple weeks, we'll have the late model nationals, and then that's it for Knoxville for the season,
right?
For the year.
So Aaron Reitzel right now leads Brian Brown by 85 points, and you were explaining to me a little bit earlier that there's 500 points up for grabs this weekend, right? Is that right?
There's 500.
Break it down for me a little bit.
Yeah, so from what I've seen, there's 560 points available this weekend, and normally that would be around, like, I think 300 or so. It'd be half of that number. The only reason why it's 560 is they're making up a rainout feature from a couple weeks ago, about a month or so ago. I can't remember the exact date.
Gotcha.
That feature was rained out on. So they're going to run a makeup 410 feature along with the final points paying 410 feature, which will have 560 points available. So that means the top four drivers, which is Aaron Reitzel, Brian Brown, Austin McCarroll, and Justin Henderson, all have a shot
at winning the,
at winning the points.
Yeah.
Now, for McCarroll and Henderson, who are, you know, 300 and 500 points back from the leader, it's going to, you know, take something, you know, kind of big to get those guys, you know, to win it, but, you know, never say never. Anything can happen, but they are in contention for a championship.
All of those would be great champions. Aaron Reitzel, Brian Brown, Austin McCarroll, Justin Henderson. I've always been a big kind of Justin Henderson fan. You know, he's pretty damn good, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah.
You know, I've always only seen him race at, you know, Knoxville and Houston and the kind of, you know, upper,
right,
Midwest area, but from people you talk to and you know, hear stories about him, he's, you know, a heck of a wheel man and has been around the country a handful of times and definitely has the talent to, you know, be one of the best sprint car drivers, you know, right now.
Yeah, Brian Brown has 3 victories this year. Aaron Reitzel has 4. Austin McCarroll has 1. Justin Henderson has 0 wins this year. Let me ask you this, Austin. You know, I know a guy that won a modified championship out at the old Lakeside Speedway back in probably 87, 88, somewhere in there. His name was Pat Gann, the Mouse. You remember who the Mouse is? You ever heard of him?
Nope.
Sign painter?
Nope.
Anyway, he won the championship out at Lakeside Speedway without winning a race. Would that, is there some kind of negative stigma attached to winning a championship if you never won a race the entire season? Yes or no?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Because if you look at it last year, I'm pretty sure Davey Heskin didn't win a race all year at Knoxville and won the championship for the 410 class. So, you know, I think it's actually
a sign of consistency.
It is. I mean, yeah. You know, if you're going to run, you know, the top five every week all year long,
right?
You know, the guys that might win, like maybe an Aaron Wright, so that wins four times, you know, has bad nights, you know, and isn't there.
Right.
And it shows that I think it would mean more to me as a driver to not win a race all year long, but win the championship, knowing that I had, you know, one of the best cars every night and was up there contending for a win, you know, every night of the year, just wasn't able to pull it off.
See, I've got to feel a little bit opposite of that. I would not want to win a championship without winning a race. I get it, the consistency thing.
Nobody wants to not win a race.
Right, exactly. But me personally, dare I say this, I would feel like a loser if I won a championship without winning a race. How come I would feel that way, Austin?
Can you
explain my philosophy in my own mind why I would feel like a loser if I didn't win a race and won the championship?
No, I don't know how I could explain that. And you look at Bowman Gray on Saturday night. Tim Brown won his 12th, you know, yeah, Whelen modified championship, 12th track championship Saturday night, and didn't win one race all year long.
Right.
He had a goal set out to win 8 races, and was disappointed in himself that they weren't able to win one race, you know, all year long. But you know, they were disappointed in that, and you know, somewhat satisfied that they were able to win a championship, not what they wanted to do. But
right,
you know, I get maybe it's not, you know, how you want to be remembered that year,
right?
But still, it's a really, you know, big accomplishment to not win a race, and still be able to finish up in the front every night,
right?
And be there at the end.
Steve, he chimed in. He said Keith Acton won a late model championship at I-70. Back in the day when it was dirt, maybe year one, you know, you're right. I remember that happening. Keith Acton has a shop up here off of Antioch Road. Does he still own that race shop up there off of Antioch Road? I mean, not a race shop, but the automotive shop up here off of Antioch Road. Is he still in business up there? I believe he is. But I don't know. It just me personally. I wouldn't want to win a championship without winning a race. That's just me personally. I don't know. I just feel like a loser, maybe. Championships are great, but there's nothing like taking the checkers and celebrating in victory lane. That's what Blake says on there. You got to win if you're going to win a championship, I think. I would not feel very good about myself if I didn't win a race and I won a championship. That's all I can say. So who do you think is going to pull it off this weekend, Austin? I got to believe that Blackjack Brian Brown, he's 85 points out. You say there's 560 points available. Do you think that who do you think out of those four drivers, Justin Henderson, Austin McCarl, Brian Brown, or Aaron Reitzel, who do you pick to win the championship? I gotta go with Blackjack, right?
You know, it's tough. Those four cars right there are, you know, really tough to bet against.
And Reitzel's not going to lay down.
No.
At all.
And that's, if you're going to go with Brown, I'm going to go with Reitzel.
All right. Why you pick Reitzel over Brown? Tell me why. Because he's the point leader?
You know, I think the point leader has something.
The
know,
advantage?
You have an advantage, but, you know, he's been fast all year long. You know, Brown's been fast, but, you know, you look at his nationals, and his nationals was awful. And, you know, He didn't do that well at Jackson, and I get that's not Knoxville's weekly stuff, but
right.
You know, if you're not having, you know, a good string of races, it's going to be kind of tough. Well, I mean, you just went out and won at the fair, but you know, a string of good races, it's going to kind of be tough, I feel like, to kind of get everything rolling again. But I might be wrong. It's just, it comes down to qualifying. You know, with the way their points are set up, you just got to qualify, race to the front in the heat race, and race up front in the feature, and hope the guys you're racing with have a bad night. But I think, you know, leading the points going into the last night's an advantage, and your night's going to be pretty easy if you don't make any mistakes.
Right. Yeah, no doubt. I've got to pull for Blackjack Brian Brown. He's one of our locals. I got to pull for him to do that. I would have a problem pulling. Listen, I like Aaron Reitzel as much as anybody, and what I like about Aaron Reitzel is I probably like Aaron Reitzel for the reason of he's my favorite heel. You know, there's a lot of heels out there, but I think Aaron Reitzel embraces being a heel. Would you agree with me on that, Austin?
Yeah, I could agree with you on that. You know, Aaron's just Aaron. That's all you can really say about him. He's just,
he doesn't really care what other people think.
No, and he's going to do it. You know, he's not going to change, you know, who he is and how he races, and I wouldn't expect him to do that.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about what's been going on around the country. How about that old Jesse Love picking up that ARCA race at Springfield? Did we talk about that yesterday?
Yep.
Did we?
Yep.
I didn't mark that off my list. So, anyway, hey, you know, we were talking a little bit earlier with Kirk Elliott. You went to, hold on a second. I just want to let everybody know, we have an amusement park here in Kansas City called Worlds of Fun. And you say you're not a big amusement park guy, right?
No.
Why is that?
I think it's been 4, 5, 6 years since I've been to an amusement park or a water park, and you will not see me at one in the near future.
They
don't do anything for me. They do nothing for me.
You mean the rides don't do anything for you?
The rides, the entertainment, the atmosphere does nothing for me. Just something that doesn't. I don't enjoy spending my free time doing. I don't know if it's just because of being, you know, a race car driver or what it is. But yeah, going to water parks, World of Fun, amusement rides, just is not.
You don't
it.
Get I, a charge out of it.
I don't. I'll spend my money elsewhere. That's not where I'm going to take my free entertainment to be entertained, I guess.
Have you been to the water park over there, Oceans of Fun?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once. Haven't went back. I mean, I don't know. I just never enjoyed them. Never done anything for me.
Yeah, no doubt. what races are you looking forward to this weekend, Austin? What race is your number one race this weekend?
Had to be Knoxville.
Yeah.
Just with, you know, the season's ending for the points championship with the sprint cars. You know, we got some big headlines. You know, for Kirk's making me laugh over here.
What's he doing?
Kirk heard what I said, and now he's laughing, and now it made me laugh. But, yeah, I mean, we have two guys that are, you know, eligible for the 360s, which is McCarl and Clint Gardner, and then we have, you know, potentially four with a 410. So, I remember watching this race last year and having the same scenario where you had a handful of guys, you know, eligible for a championship. So I think it's just, you know, a big night in sprint car racing, and, you know, watch the outlaw races as well, and see who's, you know, the next champion of you know, Knoxville Raceway.
Right. Did you get a chance to watch any of the races down there at Aztec Speedway? Did you see any of that?
No. If it's not, it was on that. What broadcasting?
It
source was that.
Let me just tell you, the broadcasting partner of that race, gosh, I hate to throw people under the bus, but it was the worst audio I've ever heard out of any broadcast, maybe ever. The audio was so bad. It was almost unbearable, to be honest with you. Don Grable picked up the first win the first night down there. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, we kind of talked about, you know, the winners on yesterday's show. I didn't get to watch. Well, like I said, I didn't buy the subscription for that service, and I just got to see the results of who won down there.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't bad. They only had 17 cars there. It wasn't too bad.
That's not awful for being out
in the middle of nowhere.
The desert.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was pretty good stuff. I enjoyed watching it. Other than the audio of it, it was just horrible. The audio, it was terrible. I'm sitting here trying to find the results from that race, and I can't find it on our page. Hey, Kirk, did we get the results from Aztec on the second night?
I don't think so.
I don't think we got it. I don't think we received it. So, anyway. Lauren Wolford was the winner of that race on the second night. I'm sitting here trying to read this on a phone right now. Just so you know, we didn't get the press release there, Sherry. We didn't get it. So, unfortunately, we have nothing to work off of to talk about that race. Me personally, you know what I'd like to go see this weekend, to be honest with you? I'd like to go see the World of Outlaw Late Models up at Davenport Speedway in Davenport, Iowa. They got the Quad Cities 150 up there.
Also, too, they have the Extreme Midget Series as a support class.
At that race?
I believe it's Davenport, yes.
Really? The non-wing sprint cars are going to be running
midgets.
Oh, the midgets.
Yep, midgets.
Hey, did you see where Robert Ballou kind of threw a little jab at O'Brady Bacon on Facebook? Did you see that?
I did. I don't.
Can we pull that up and show that? Is there any way that we could do that? I got a hair sticking me in my nose. Can we pull that up and maybe Robert Blues? This is interesting. I think Robert took it a little bit personal that Brady Bacon called him fat. That he couldn't fit in a midget. That's what he was saying, wasn't he?
It's been going on for... when was that tweet about... So it was July 22nd is when...
When Brady posted that?
Is when Brady made the original post, and it was... I believe that was during Indiana Sprint Week, and it says, apparently Robert Ballou would like to go midget racing. Unfortunately, it is also obvious he would not be able to fit in one. And I believe this was after, Gas City when Robert got into Brady and C.J. Leary, and those two both ended upside down. And then, you know, this week is the Kokomo Smackdown, and Brady and Robert decided to bring out some new T-shirt designs. And it started with Robert Ballou bringing out a new T-shirt design, and it's the Ballou Dozer, and it's
Robert come up with that shirt.
Yeah, so it's a dozer, you know, scoop on the front of his car
through the BS.
Yes, and then here is the return design from Brady Bacon towards Robert Ballou. Let me get it pulled up.
All right, I love that shirt though. So, SmackDown.
And it has Brady Bacon
Run over by Robert.
Feeding a right rear to Robert. But if you notice, Robert Ballou's design was towards like a bulldozer.
Right.
Well, Brady's design is towards a front loader. And they had a little comment back and forth between Brady and Robert that Brady couldn't realize the difference between a front loader and a bulldozer, and kind of called out on his intelligence.
Well, Brady kind of called out Robert?
No, Robert called out Brady for not knowing the difference between a A bulldozer and a front loader.
Oh, a front loader. Oh, man, that's some pretty good stuff. Do you think there's real animosity between those two?
You know, I'm thinking about that, and
I think it's contrived a little bit.
You know, I think maybe a little bit, but, you know, those two are the leading two cars in USEC, I feel like, right now. And it's kind of like, you know, a rival, you know, it's, how do I want to say it? It's, they understand the situation that they're in,
right,
that they could play this and make this big.
Make it work for them.
And I think that's what they're trying to do. Maybe it's just 100% raw, and I think a little bit of it is. But, you know, I think, you know, those two understand. They're both businessmen. They're smart people. And I think, you know, maybe they understand the situation that they're presented with, and they're going to kind of take advantage of it.
Right. Well, who knows? Who knows, really? You know what? It's good that they create the interest between the two drivers, though, right? I think it's interesting that they kind of promote themselves by promoting each other. Would you agree with that a little bit?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it's good for racing, really. You know, rivalries is a big thing in motorsports. You know, I hate to say it, but Jason Johnson one time, he gave me a bunch of crap one time for trying to start a rivalry between him and Shane Stewart. And he said, man, there's no place in motorsports for people like you creating rivalries between drivers. Isn't that a key part of motorsports? Wouldn't you agree with that, that rivalries is a big part of motorsports? You look at the guys that Sammy Swindell versus everybody, right? I mean, I miss Jason as much as anybody, but... To be fair, we got to have rivalries in motorsports, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, it creates conflict, and it creates, you know, a revenue for people, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I definitely think it's a key part in motorsports, and we need it, and we need, you know, more of it. You know, just look at, like you said, Sammy and like, you know, Steve Kinzer and guys like that. And
Doug Wolfgang, you know, Steve Kinzer.
Yeah,
right.
You know, I'm trying to think of some off the top of my head, and that I'm kind of drawing a blank to it. But yeah, you just look at, I mean, even look at the Cup race on Saturday or on Sunday. You know, Kyle Larson versus Chase Elliott, and look at, you know, look at what the fans are doing on social media. So yeah, I mean, I definitely think it's a part of motorsports that, you know, needs to, you know, be around for a while.
Mm. Dietrich is the PA heel. That's what Caleb says. I don't know if that's true.
He is.
Is he?
He is. Actually, yeah, he's, yes, Danny can be a heel. I think, you know, another one that maybe not everybody, I didn't know about for sure, is Freddie Raymer. I've heard a handful of people here since the Outlaws were at Williams Grove talk about how much they don't like Freddie and how much he's a pain to race with.
Wow, how about that? I would have never thought that in a million years. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Blackjack Brian Brown is going to join us here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be right back with Blackjack in a moment. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Jared Specialty Sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
Three nine-hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. And joining us now on the show is a good friend of the Racing Boys, Blackjack Brian Brown joins us. Brownie, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you guys today?
Well, we're doing pretty good. You did pretty good down there Sunday at State Fair, didn't you, bud?
Yeah, it's always, you know, that's really where it started for me is at the Missouri State Fair, you know, weekly programs on Fridays. And then to come back and have a good run at the State Fair, that's a race we always circle on our calendar. You never know when the last one could be. And definitely try to do our best, and we're lucky enough to get it done there on Sunday.
Yeah. Talk about the race itself. It looked like Roger was out there on you a little bit there at the start of the race.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, I got the lead on the very first initial start, and then they called it back and said that we needed to be together a little bit more. Maybe I went a little early, and they said he was lagging back or whatever the case was, but they basically that was our warning to the front row. So where I was taken off, I needed to go as soon as I possibly could. And I knew I did, but I didn't want to get put back on the second start. So I waited probably longer than I should have on the second start to make sure, you know, I didn't get put back and
right.
He was able to get the lead. And he was running a blistering pace. I mean, running, you know, very good. And I knew as abrasive as the tires was in the early part of the night, that it was going to be crucial that not just to run the tires off it. So I just stayed a good pace with him and figured we were going to get the traffic. And when we got the traffic, there was a huge gaggle of lap cars, and then the red come out. And then on the red, I was able to look at my tires, and honestly, they looked horrible. I felt like they were, looked way worse than I even figured they would. So I knew I had to get a good restart, and the first one I didn't, and he got going. But I kind of stayed with him on that little two or three lap run within two or three car lengths. So I felt good about where my car was at that point.
Yeah.
And then the next restart, he made a little bobble, and I didn't, and I capitalized on his mistake there and got a run and wasn't able to clear him on the first slider, but at least got in thinking about what was going on there, and then was able to clear him on the second one, and then really just get out there and run. When your car gets out front like that, just makes it so much easier to drive, right. And just was able to run clean laps and really keep my tires under me and not to abuse my tires, and was able to win. But he did a good job. I know he after the race, he's beating himself up a little bit about making a little mistake on the restart there, but he doesn't race a lot, and
right.
he should be proud of his team that he did a very good job.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Brownie, I got to talk a little bit about what's going on down at the fair. Gosh, I know that you probably feel when you go to State Fair Motor Speedway, when you go there, that you have a sizable advantage because of your experience and all the years that you've raced down there. What do we got to do to ensure that the racetrack doesn't go away at the fairgrounds? What do we got to do? Is there anything that we can do as a broadcasting company, as Blackjack Brian Brown, as the racers that support that racetrack? What can we do to ensure that racetrack doesn't go away?
Well, I think obviously the fans are doing their part in a huge crowd there on Sunday night. It's really always a good crowd at the fair. But I really feel like we just got to figure out how to get that. I think we had 15 or 16 or 17 cars. We got to figure out how to get that car count up. The mid to late 20s, and realistically we need to try to figure out how to run down there, say two or three times total throughout the year. Whether it's once a month or, once every couple months, or, we need to sprinkle in a MLRA race on Wednesday at the fair. We need to make that track more usable rather than just right. one time a year. It's really easy just to erase it off the schedule and say, well, gosh, let's make it a parking lot because they don't use it anyway. To me, we need to have good races, like I said, once a month or, at least two or three times a year, where it's usable. And one thing about it, the fans always come out and support it. There's always great crowds.
Sure. Yeah.
Just a little disappointed in the car count. I think we could have did a lot better with a little work with the car count. And, I'm not sure it's anybody's fault, but we just maybe need to work a little harder at going out a month in advance and talking to Austin McCarl or Terry McCarl and saying, hey, what do we have to do to get you to race? Can we give you a couple free pit passes or whatever we need to do to make sure
to show up
the car counts what it should be?
Yeah. Do you think there's any possibility that racetrack could make it as a weekly racing track? Do you think that it could work? Because back in the day, man, when Bob Baker run that place, man, it was rolling, right? Is there any chance that you think that we could make it work again as a weekly racing track?
I don't think so, just because of the size of it. It takes a lot of engine, your equipment's got to be very good to run those kind of speeds. And ideally, a weekly program is, I feel like, for the guys around here are, Lake of the Ozarks on Saturday nights and, California, Missouri on Sunday. Those are good small tracks that you can have a decent motor, and you don't have to have, a World of Outlaw type engine or, an ASCS National type engine. I honestly think if we could, figure out, we're going to run sprint cars twice during the year. We're going to run once on Memorial Day weekend and once 4th July weekend and the fair. So say you run three times there and then you sprinkle in an MLRA race or, a World of Outlaws race. I just think we need to get we have to run more than once a year, or sooner or later, it's going to go away.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, Brownie, this is a big weekend for you up at Knoxville. There's four guys battling it out for the championship this weekend. Aaron Reitzel, you're behind him in the points right now. Austin McCarl and Justin Henderson. 560 points are available this weekend. Tell me what you got to do to get in there and win this championship this weekend.
Yeah, we kind of shot ourselves on the foot a little bit. You know, we were 40 or 50 points ahead going into the Capitani Classic, and I crashed my primary car there, and now we're 80 back. So, I mean, really, you know, we're walking up to the blackjack table with somebody else's money, honestly, and laying it on the table because we've missed three races there, and we're still in contention to win the championship. So we're really second, third. It's just a bonus at this point. You know, obviously we want to win it, mm-hmm. but, you know, we're on house money. And like I said, our goal when we go in there this weekend is just to get max points. If we win everything, every race we're in, every qualifying session, every hot lap session, every feature, every heat race, I think it will make it difficult for Aaron. But he's a very good race car driver, and yeah. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. So I expect him to go in there and have a good solid night, and I'm sure he's going for max points too. So
yeah.
Be interesting to see how it plays out. Like I said, I feel like that we're on house money. And, you know, I wasn't even going into the season missing two or three nights. I wasn't expecting to be able to even have a shot at the title, going into the final night. But at this point, anything can happen. And like I said, we're looking forward to the opportunity just to get to Knoxville again. And then we'll head out east to do our Pennsylvania schedule, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. I got to ask you, you know, once in a while I got to ask a tough question, but I was told, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but did Danny not want you to run that car, your good car, at the Capitani on Sunday, and then when you crashed it, that kind of set you back behind the eight ball a little bit, did it? Was Danny in favor of that or not?
No, yeah, a little bit. He wasn't in favor of it. You know, he wanted to take that car that we ran at the Outlaw show where we beat the Outlaws and put it in the corner, and that's going to be our Knoxville Nationals car. And I was 100% for that. The only issue was at the Knoxville or at the June Outlaw race, if you go back and watch the video, our engine's not taken off at all. And like one of the restarts, I got run over by a guy from behind, and I didn't feel comfortable going into the Knoxville Nationals with an engine. I didn't know if it was going to take off or not.
Mm-hmm.
So I basically lobbied to run my Knoxville Nationals car at the Capitani Classic, and you know, hindsight's 20/20. I mean, I can count on one hand how many times I've crashed at Knoxville. Period.
Right.
And you know, it just circumstantially just wasn't how I had it planned, and it obviously cost us way more than I would have ever imagined. Ideally, looking back, hindsight, I probably should have just said, you know what, I'm going to take my car up there on a Friday night on a test session, go on the front straightaway, make two drag racing pulls down the front straightaway and say, oh, yep, it takes off good. Yep, put it in the corner. It's good to go.
Right.
But there's no – you don't go to Barnes & Noble and get a car owner's manual. You just – you know, you do what you feel like's right in your stomach and your gut. And there's times that you make mistakes and you have to say, gosh, that wasn't very smart for me to do that. But I wear it. I take it on my shoulders, and you know, I'm the one that kind of made that final decision. That's what I wanted to do, and it cost us. And then, you know, we took the car. We thought we squared it all up and it seemed to be fine, but when we went into our qualifying night, it just didn't act right at all. So that got us behind the eight ball, and just that place up there, man, like it's either, man, you got some luck and it's your year, or you had some bad luck and it's like, man, just everything we touch doesn't go well. So, but the good news is today's Tuesday, the 23rd or whatever today is. And
it's
the sun came
you.
Up and we were able to go to Jackson, and we went to, Sedalia. So it's life goes on. I mean, there's gonna be a lot more guys that don't win the Knoxville Nationals than do. So, we're going to keep plugging away at it, and, we'll put ourselves in position again and hopefully have an opportunity to. But back to your initial question. Yeah, that was Danny was not for it. And, you know, I lobbied just because I was trying to figure out, you know, give us the best opportunity to win the Knoxville Nationals. And if my motor didn't take off, I was not going to win the Knoxville Nationals, no matter which way you skin it. So, that's how it went down.
You know, it's pretty non-typical for you, because I know you take a lot of pride on your restarts and how crisp your motors run. And for you to say that your motors didn't take off, that's pretty non-typical for you.
Well, I mean, it just wasn't taking off. It was like causing a 10-car pileup. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like if you watch the restart at the Outlaw show, like Carson Macedo runs over me from behind, should have popped my left rear tire, and it stacked the whole field up. I mean, it could have very easily been a 10-car pileup, which had been even more embarrassing.
Right.
But my engine builder, Charlie Garrett, went to work and tried to figure out what was going on, and we did figure it out. But, again, I mean, how can you know, ideally I should have went there on a practice night, paid the $2,000 to rent the track with a couple other guys and did it a different way. No, don't take it to that Capitani race and, you know, get it tore up there. But it's just wrong place, wrong time. Cushion was built up a little bit higher than it had been. And it was like, I've made that move where I crashed a million times and mm-hmm. was able to get through that. It was just, we started on the second row of the heat. They take three. I'm starting beside Brad Sweet. I've got to be aggressive. And, you know, as a car owner, I'm telling my driver, like, I feel like I gain a lot of spots on starts and restarts, and it's because I am aggressive. And, you know, it just bit me, and obviously bit me at the worst case scenario, worst time.
Right, right. How bad did you feel? Gosh, I hate to even bring this up, but you finished 21st, right? Or 20th, I think it was. As a driver, as somebody that everybody looks at as one of the guys to beat at Knoxville, for you to run that bad in that A main, how gut-wrenching was that to you?
Yeah, I mean, it's not easy. It's like, it's your expectations, sometimes don't line up with the result, and that's just life. I mean, there's people that probably think they should be playing in an NFL that never get the opportunity or whatever the case may be. And, we're able to beat the Outlaws in June, and obviously that – all of a sudden now I'm the favorite to win the Knoxville Nationals. And I don't really know if that's the expectation was the right thing to get labeled. But, in general, yeah, when I left on Sunday morning to come home, obviously I'm not in the best of mood and not wanting to even think about, so much preparation. I mean, I wish people knew the preparation that goes into that race and the thought process that goes into that race and things like that, that it can all go down the drain in one corner at that race. And for us to be able to not reach our expectations, was not a good feeling. But what are you going to do? Like, really, you cannot replay it. You cannot go back and redo it. It's just, it didn't work out. And, if you sit around and feel sorry for yourself the rest of the year, you might as well just pack it in and call it a year. But we can't do that. We have partners on our team that expect us to come back out the next night or next week and give a good performance. And that's what we did. We were able to come back and have a good night. I got a top 10 with the Outlaws on Friday night or Saturday night during the day show, and then win Sedalia on Sunday. So, it sucks. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Everybody knows what I feel about the Knoxville Nationals. And, I just have to put it behind you and get after it and get it again next year.
Let me ask you this. We're visiting with Blackjack Brian Brown. He's going to be running for the championship this weekend up at Knoxville. Do you feel the added pressure? When people look at you, they look at you as a guy that can beat the Outlaws. Do you feel that pressure from the fans sometimes, Brian?
No, I mean, I think the fans, I think there's really no added pressure for them. I just feel like that they're just hoping that, that we can have a good run, but there's never really any pressure from them or whatever. I mean, I feel like within our team, I put the most pressure on myself and than anyone, just because I expect a lot of our team.
Right.
But I don't expect to go up there and win the Knoxville Nationals. Do I want to? Do I hope to? Yes.
Yes.
But just to say, hey, I'm going to go up there and beat these guys. There's just, it's like no other, it's not like a nightly show where you get in there and you qualify. And I mean, there's so much that goes into it that, you know, you can get yourself behind the eight ball. I mean, like, look at the Wednesday night portion when a lot of guys didn't get through their heat. A lot of the guys, Knoxville Nationals, were ruined on Wednesday night, and they didn't do anything wrong. They just couldn't pass in the heat races.
Mm-hmm.
So I can promise you there's maybe, obviously, Donnie Schatz is happy. You know, whoever ran second, David Gravel, I can't remember who ran second. David Gravel ran second, and then I think maybe Logan Schuhart got third. They're happy probably.
Right.
I mean, those guys are probably like, man, that was a good run. Jacob, a buddy of mine, got fifth, Allen. But other than that, can you think there's anybody today that's like, man, I'm so happy at how we ran. We ran 14th. Now, there's guys that made the A-Main for the first time that they're probably happy. But there's nobody that's saying, gosh, I can't wait to go back next year and hopefully we can run 14th again. So
yeah,
you're going to be disappointed at some level when you leave Knoxville on Sunday unless you win.
Right.
After that, there's a disappointment level. Now, some years it's going to be less, and some years it's going to be more.
Yeah.
But obviously, probably this year, how we felt our opportunity was, is probably as disappointed as I've been. And but like I said, I don't have no choice but to bounce back and be the leader of this team and come in and work just as hard the day after the Knoxville Nationals as we did going into the Nationals, because you got to, you know, attitudes are contagious. And if I got a crappy attitude when I come in here and I think life's over, it's those guys are going to feed off of me. And 20th at the Knoxville Nationals, I can promise you, in all reality, and if you look at the grand scope of things, there's way more bad things and going on in people's lives right now.
Right, no doubt.
Than running 20th at the Knoxville Nationals. We got people that have family members that are sick. They've lost family members. Just life in general, there's lots of stuff going on. So it's all about perspective. Greedy, like, yeah, I want to win the Knoxville Nationals, but all my family's healthy. You know, I'm healthy, and we're going to live to fight another day.
Yeah. All right, so you're going out to PA. Man, it doesn't get any tougher than when you go out to race in PA, does it?
It doesn't, and I think that's why our attitude and our mindset, our heads got to be screwed on straight here, or otherwise it's going to be a wasted trip out there. We have to be on kill to beat those guys, and you know, we're not going to let one week of the year define our season and define our team. We're going to go out there with our heads high and try to go out there and beat those guys. And we can do it. Our team's proven we can do it. We've won out there before, but we're going to have our A game. And I feel like we have the team to do it.
Yeah. Where do you think your best chances when you go to PA? Where's your best chances to win out there, Brian?
I think we can win them all. I mean, they're the tracks, you know, Williams Grove, we won there last year.
Right.
Ceilings Grove, we won there a couple years ago. We haven't won at Port Royal, but we have the track record at Port Royal, and we run lots of podium finishes there. So I feel like that we have a great opportunity at all the tracks. You know, but so does 50 other guys. So, you know, it's a costly trip. It's diesel fuel. It's hotels. It's a lot of things. So
no doubt.
It's not a vacation. You have to go out there with the mindset that this is not a tour bus. This is a business trip, and we have to go out there to make money, and we have to run well. And you know, you have to be from Danny to JB to Chatty to my dad. We all got to be ready to go when we get there, and I feel like we got the team to do it.
Yeah, no doubt, Brown. Man, I appreciate you always take the time to join us here on Mostly Motorsports. We appreciate it. I know this wasn't a comfortable conversation talking about Knoxville and everything up there, but I appreciate you speaking about it in such an honest and open thoughts about what happened up there. And all we can hope for is next year is going to be a lot better than it was this year for you up there at Knoxville Nationals, bud.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a struggle in general. I mean, even on the hard Knox night, we had to come 12th to 4th,
right.
To get ourselves in. We definitely – you know, we probably even feel worse if we're run 12th in the B main. I mean, we were in the A main. We just didn't get to finish with one. But I mean, I think that's the thing, man. Like, you know, if you know, at some point in life, if you want to be the target, you got to take the arrows.
Right.
And to me, it's, you know, when things go well, you get to have the fun conversations, you know, and when things don't go well, sometimes you have to have the tough conversations.
But yeah, that's, yeah, no doubt.
It's life. I mean, it's life in general. And like, I feel like that, you know, I've never been shy to tell the truth. And, you know, if, you know, as an owner, I'm not proud of our result, but I'm proud of how our team reacted to that result all week. Mm-hmm. They never pointed fingers, never said, gosh, I told you we shouldn't have ran that car, or why are we fixing this car, or what are we doing? It was, their attitudes was spot on, whatever it takes to get us to the finish line. And I think been very easily after our qualifying night to say, you know what, this is just a bad Knoxville Nationals. We might as well just pack it in and call a year here at the Nationals. But they were the opposite. They were like, what can we do to make it better? We got to get locked in, you know. And that, I think as an owner, I'm very proud of that. More proud of that than probably some of the times when we won races. So, you know, like I said, it's part of it. And like, we're looking forward to live to fight another day. And like I said, and you know, on Sunday, the Knoxville Nationals, you know, the sun still comes up in Marion County, and there's way worse things going on in life than the 20th at the Knoxville Nationals.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, man, I'm rooting for you this weekend. Go up to Knoxville, win that championship, and bring that championship back to KC, okay? Hey, hold on a second. Before I let you go, what do you think about the Chiefs? I always got to talk to you about the Chiefs. Do you think they're going to be pretty good this year?
I honestly haven't been – like, this is honestly my favorite time of the year right now.
It is.
We're through the Knoxville Nationals. We're finished up our Knoxville schedule. We're getting ready to head to Pennsylvania. But more importantly, it's football season where I can – so I've been able to listen to a little bit of sports radio the last couple of days and just kind of get caught up. It's – the last month's really a whirlwind for me, just crap going everywhere. And
right.
I'm able to get caught up a little bit. I feel like that we – I think we're going to be better than we were in some sense. It may not be as explosive on offense, but I feel like we'll be a better all-around offensive team, and there'll be somebody every week that is going to be the leader as far as you know, receiving yards or running rushing yards or whatnot. But I'm excited. I think we're going to be better, and I'm looking forward to a good year.
What do you think about that Watson kid that we got?
He's a stud. Sky Moore. I mean, yeah. a lot of pickups that I feel like they did a good job. You know, to me, as long as there's Andy Reid, Brett Veach, and Patrick Mahomes,
right.
I like our chances more than most. So, I mean, the rest are just pieces around them. And like I said, it's awesome to be, you know, it's awesome to be a Chiefs fan right now in general. Just, you know, just proud of how the organization just carries themselves. I mean, if there's a more respected organization in the country as far as football, I don't know what it would be.
Right.
And
no doubt.
Start from Clark Hunt on down. So to be able to be a fan of those, a team that's that highly regarded is pretty good. And proud to be a Chiefs fan.
Are you going Thursday?
No, I don't. I have to come back after the Tuscarora 50 for something. I got a business deal here in town, but I might try to do the opening on Thursday at the Chargers, and then just to get an early flight back to Pennsylvania on Friday morning. I'm kind of on the fence on that.
Yeah.
I want to go 1,000%. I hate flying on race day because you just never know what could happen. So,
right. No doubt.
I guess if I don't make it, I guess I do got a good backup driver. So maybe we'll just flip a coin and do that.
All right. Blackjack, thanks so much for joining us on the show. Appreciate you, brother.
No problem. You guys take care. Anytime you need something, let me know.
All right. Thank you. There you have it. Blackjack Brian Brown. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the show in a moment. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Sure, especially sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. Want to remind everybody about the great track tribute that's going on right now through October 1st up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. It's a track tribute to Ascot Park that was in Gardena, California. A great racetrack. Folks, you need to get up there right now. They've got video, driver uniforms, helmets, memorabilia, a lot of stuff, a lot of cars from that raced out at Ascot Park. My favorite one out of all the cars up there is the Jimmy Oskey old paint sprint car. It hasn't been restored. It's in its original condition, and it's easily my favorite car that's up there. They've also got Pernelli Jones number 98 Turkey Night Midget up there as well. Dean Thompson's sprint car, number two sprint car, is going to be up there. So get up there and check it out. A lot of stuff going on right now up the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. And while you're up there, why don't you purchase a sprint car raffle ticket? They've got a 2022 Triple X chassis 410 sprint car up there. This is a complete 410 sprint car, folks. They're going to be giving that away on Friday, December 16th. And I'm telling you, this is a complete turnkey, well, push-off turnkey. I don't even know why I said that, right? This is a complete sprint car. It's ready to be pushed off and raced when you win it, if you win it. So if you can't go up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, you can always do it online at sprintcarraffle.com. That's sprintcarraffle.com. Or you can give them a call at 641-842-6176, and you can order by phone as well. If you're not comfortable with putting your credit card online, a lot of people aren't, call them up at 641-842-6176. And if you see Bob Baker, make sure you tell him the Racing Boys sent you up there as well. What'd you think about those comments of Blackjack Brian Brown there, Austin?
It's
pretty opening. He was pretty open with his.
He was open. It's something. You know, it's not what you want to talk about, but you know, it's.
It's not comfortable.
It's not. It's, you know, it's just, that's, you know, he said it. It's just the life of a racer. You have the nights that, you know, you're on top of the world. Then you have nights like his nationals that you just want to forget about, and you know, you move on from. But you know, you still got to, you know, acknowledge what happened. But
right.
Yeah, you know, it's. Just it's the unfortunate part of being a racer. You have those, like I said,
you have ups and downs, right?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Todd, he chimed in. He said, "Hey guys, listen to the show late, and not too happy to hear the one rumor Austin heard about the fair track. Maybe you could get the fairgrounds director on to squash or confirm said rumors. Maybe also put him on the spot on why the fairgrounds won't work with a promoter better to get shows in." Listen, I'm going to tell you, and Dave, I think, said as much. Dave Tyson, he chimed in as well. He said, "Very hard for a promoter to make money. No concession money, and the state of Missouri is charging too much to lease the track. I know that. I wouldn't do it." So there you have it. I don't know what they charge to lease the racetrack, but if they're charging a lot to lease that racetrack, that's where they're making the mistake, right? Because if they don't, if they can't make enough money off of the race, the front and the back gate, and they don't have the concessions, why would anybody want to promote a race down there?
Yeah, it just wouldn't make sense.
Doesn't
I don't know.
Make sense
I don't
at
know
all.
Like what an outlaw, when the Outlaws come to town, on what they, you know, what do they get? And what does the track get, or what would the fair get?
Mm-hmm.
But if you're wanting, if let's say the Outlaws make their money off of ticket sales, and you want to make some money off that event,
right,
to pay for leasing the track,
right,
have an Outlaw show at the fair.
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, you'll pack. I think you'd pack them in there.
No doubt, Outlaw show always packs the house.
I mean, just look at what they do when they come to Lakeside or tracks around here.
The All Stars don't do as good a crowd though.
Now, nobody will ever beat the Outlaws.
Nobody beats the Outlaws. Yeah, I'm with you. Can you even pay the purse without concessions? Rough deal. That's what Caleb says. No doubt about it, Caleb. Appreciate all of you tuning in today on the show. Tomorrow, don't forget, Buddy Kofoid is going to join us on the show. We'll talk about all his success that he's having and the big wreck that he had at the ARCA race this last weekend at the Springfield Mile. That was a pretty grinding wreck, wasn't it, Austin?
Yeah, it's just, I talked about it last night with some buddies, and it's just, there's not much you can say about it. It was an unfortunate deal. It's just, you know, track conditions, you know, along with, you know, that guy stopping in a horrible spot, just.
Bad situation.
Just a bad deal is all you can really say about it. Luckily, you know, both those drivers, you know, didn't get hurt, and. They live to race another day.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, thanks everybody for tuning in. We hope that you'll join us tomorrow right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Again, tomorrow, Buddy Kofoid joins us here on Mostly Motorsports. For Austin O'Neill, for my partner Kirk Elliott, I'm Scott Traylor. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Mostly Motorsports. Again, all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.